Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audio Visual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Sweet pookas, man.
All your fantasy sports updates. Now, the host from the East Coast, here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, you know it. Apologies for the late start. We had a little bit of conflicting issues, man. We got solved, though, man. 11:05, and it's time to get alive, man. It's Fantasy Football Sunday, baby. You're listening to the Wagner Wire, episode 67, here on 104.9 The Horn, AM 1260. Stream the sucker live at hornfm.com. Lot to get into today. This week got a little bit crazy already, man. Josh Gordon, man, it's looking bad for the Browns. Look, the saga is over. It's finally done.
Has it never not looked bad for the Browns?
No, it looked good. I mean, back in the heyday in the 80s, you know, with Ernest Biner before the fumble. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to bring that up, Cleveland fans. I'm sorry. Don't hate me. But, yeah, it just looks like the debacle still continues in Cleveland, man. What do you do if you're a Browns fan, right? Because you have all this hope with Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry coming over, Nick Chubb coming in, the running back, not Bradley Chubb, that defensive stalwart. He's on the Denver Broncos. But, yeah, so you have all this talent that appeared to be emerging for the Browns, right? And you think they're all putting it together and it's all going to start coming in and the cream's going to rise to the top, as they say, and now one of their most electrifying, game-changing wide receivers that they've had a dramatic up-and-down roller coaster of a relationship, Boogie Knight-style type of relationship with Josh Gordon. The saga is over. They look to move the young man. They look to trade him by Monday or release the guy. So sources are linking. Adam Schefter's reporting that that one Dallas Cowboys, a little bit north of 35 here, is interested in the young man, and so are the San Francisco 49ers, which I don't really see. I could see the 49ers using a talent like Josh Gordon to stretch the field and get vertical, but I definitely see this product for Jerry Jones and company with the circus up there at Dallas Cowboys, with the Dallas Cowboys, man, which they do need a wideout. They need somebody that can actually open up defenses and allow for running lanes for Zeke Elliott. So to me, man, I think it's a Jerry move. It's a Jerry move to bring Josh Gordon into Dallas.
To replace Dez with Josh. Is that the move you want, though?
Well, you definitely have high volume drama and low volume drama, but it's drama nonetheless. All right. But we actually have some sound from Lewis Riddick regarding this Josh Gordon debacle in Cleveland. And here's what he has to say about it.
This regime right now isn't the regime that brought him there in the first place. So understand that there's going to come a point in time, no matter how much you put into a player in terms of time and investment and faith that you put in him, that if he continues to kind of run afoul of what you want him to do, you're just going to have to cut the cord here. And this is one of those situations where, look, when a player shows up and he gets hurt at something that really isn't sponsored by the football team, look, when you're Josh Gordon and you've had the number of missteps that you've had, you're going to be kind of skating on thin ice, and it's so subjective here. Look, this is such a delicate personal thing because, like, I myself was very hard on Josh Gordon early in his career. I thought he was one of those guys you should have cut the cord on a long time ago because I didn't think he really respected the game enough so to get his life in order. And I kind of flipped. I was very much so rooting for him, and I still am. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those situations where at some point in time, trust is what it's all about in the NFL. It just is. And if you cannot trust a player to do right, either in terms of taking care of his body and being healthy and available, or making sure that he's continuing on the right path as far as keeping himself straight off the field, you're just going to have to move on. And it stinks. It really does, because you don't want to see a guy like this continue to make mistakes. But, Matt, it's a business, man. It is. And the Browns need to win games, and they need people who they can count on.
That's right. They need people that they can count on, and it appears that they just couldn't, right? You had Josh Gordon before. He missed the whole preseason, you know, trying to get his mind right and wherever he was out west, but it looks like it was doing good for him. I mean, the guy's an exceptional player when he's on the field, and you saw what he did against the Steelers. I mean, he caught, it was one reception, but he had the touchdown pass. It was a crucial, it was a crucial touchdown, man. It got him the tie.
It was a good catch.
Yeah,
too.
It was a great, it was a great catch right on the sideline, almost, and to put the footwork down. That's what I'm talking about right there, right? He doesn't have the reps, and yet he still has the skill to get his footwork inbounds. It was just, it was master footwork, if you ask me. But to me, this is a talent that Dallas could actually use. For sure. I mean, you're looking to stay in front of the chains and not be behind them. You know what I mean? And create third downs that you can convert. Josh Gordon can put you into that position, and he also, like I said, open up those lanes for Zeke to just get busy and tear up. Let Zeke eat. Yeah, you gotta do more than just have an offense that's gonna allow the opposing defense to stack eight in the box and have a loaded box. You can't expect Zeke to run on that every game.
Well, and I mean, 2012 to 2014, Josh Gordon, I have faith in that. I have faith that he can help the Dallas offense. He looked okay in his return, but I'm still not sold on
he
the fact
have
that
the reps, man.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. But like I said, I mean, can I expect you to get the reps midseason now? I mean, I don't know if you, like you said, the Dallas Cowboys need a true number one. They
no
don't
doubt.
Have one.
Yeah, they don't have one at all.
Are we sure Josh Gordon, the guy who couldn't beat Jarvis Landry for a number one job, and Jarvis Landry
there.
Doesn't go downfield?
He wasn't there to beat Josh Gordon. Or to beat Jarvis Landry, and that, you know, to be fair, but I think if you put the right support around this dude, I think he can be spectacular, and we all know this, right? I mean, look at what he produces when he is on the field. To me, it's the risk. Now, you heard Lewis Riddick say it was an injury that not football related. He was away. It was almost like he was doing a commercial, and he pulled a hamstring during a commercial. It's not a substance abuse issue as well. It's just something that a freak accident. And to be honest with you, you also heard Lewis Riddick say that this isn't the regime, the Cleveland regime that brought Josh Gordon in. And they're just tired of this. It's been a little bit of a soap opera before the season, and it's starting to carry over. And this was probably the last straw. And I think that's just what they're looking to do. They're looking to get rid of this guy, see if there's any value out there while you can. And I think you can actually put him on week-to-week contracts as well. If he is released and somebody picks him up, I think then you can put him on a week to week contract. Maybe that's what teams are going to do. So, well, and that way you'll get the bare minimum. It won't be that much of a risk on him. It's still going to be a risk, you know what I mean? Because he could have stuff that's detrimental to a team inside the locker room as well. So,
well, the best thing for Josh Gordon is he does get traded, because I think if he goes into unrestricted free agency, he's going to have the same issue that Dez does. He's going to want too much for what you've had on the field lately.
But, oh.
And that's the thing. Now, like you talk about him going to Dallas, system fit, I think he could be great for them. But now you're taking a player who's had issues with the spotlight for the last 4 years,
and
you're putting him in the biggest spotlight in football.
How will he respond to that?
Like you said, he needs a support
system. Could be an adverse reaction too, man.
Right, and that's what I said. Maybe if he can get the right support system around, he can definitely be beneficial to any team, much less the Cowboys. But, yeah, you're right. Cowboys can use some help there. This could be an easy fix. I mean, they can give up a fourth or fifth round draft pick for a Josh Gordon, I'm pretty sure, pretty quickly, and help that receiving core, because all these Cowboys fans who said they didn't need a guy like Dez,
yes,
you know,
they do.
Now you're finding out that you do need at least a guy who the defense pays attention to, because nobody looks at Allen Hurns,
nobody looks
at Michael Gallup.
You have
and
to
go,
have a
we
defense
need to double
to put
team
in,
that guy.
You got to have the opposing defense put in at least some amount of sub packages in. And what I mean by sub packages, any defense that has more defensive back or like six defensive backs or five defensive backs, any type of sub packages, right? You can't allow the defense to stack the box, load the box with eight in there, and it's just nuts. Zeke cannot find running space that way because there's no room. It's just not available in the defense. There's no threat that can stretch vertically get vertical and stretch the defense to create those lanes. So, I don't know. We want to hear what you say. We invite you to the conversation. It is 512-447-3776. But we got to get out here. We got a lot of spots to play right now. Long breaks this afternoon, so we got to get you to it. All your thoughts on the other side of it. You're listening to the Wagner Wire here on 104.9 The Horn, AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire. In a few minutes, we're going to have Chris Sweet from the Wagner Wire come on. He's going to bring us Sweet Street. We're going to see what's in that bag for week two. in the NFL. I want to remind you that you can be a part of the conversation. Call it 512-447-3776 or text us at 512-337-3776. That's the Caro's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It's always blowing up. We got a few of them already. Will Fuller or Bilal Powell? It's a PPR. Man, this is tough, man. Bilal Powell, I want to say, you know, right off the jump, because it's just a running back, and, you know, I think you can get the best of both worlds. But how about Crowell, man? He was going off too. I don't know. You're sharing the backfield there. I'm gonna have to say, I like Will Fuller here, man. I think so, man. A lot of Texans are. Is he gonna play or not? That's the thing.
That's the issue. That's the thing. We're not even.
He's a game time decision. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly. GTD. So that, to me, man, I go with what you know here, and I think you got to take Powell. I mean, I think the ceiling is higher for Will Fuller if he does play. He's a guy that can obviously get you 2 touchdowns per game. Just tremendous speed, and you know that Deshaun Watson has pretty decent rapport. I mean, the first 2 games that Will Fuller came back last year, he had 4 touchdowns. So I think that bodes well for him. If he does play, when he's on the field, he's a difference maker for sure. I'm sorry we couldn't really break that question down and give you a concrete question, but again, it's game time decision. He also says, also have Vance McDonald, O.J. Howard, or Josh Dotson. I feel safer with Fuller or Powell, but I do feel safer with Fuller or Powell. Yeah, I agree with that. I think Dotson, he can stretch. He's good for the skins, too. It's a Baylor product as well. But I think the dude, he just doesn't get as many targets. O.J. Howard, you never know what's going to happen with Fitzmagic. Is it going to be Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic here? I think the safer play is Bilal Powell. I think you go with that, even though he's sharing a backfield with Crowell. I don't know, man. I think you got to take Powell. I'm going to go with that. Devin, what you think on that?
Yeah, I think Powell's definitely the guaranteed choice here because we know he's playing today. And my thing with Will Fuller is, even if he does play today, we don't know how many snaps he's going to see or how many snaps it'll take him to re-injure himself. Speedsters always have that issue with their legs and their hamstrings in particular. So, this is coming from a Texans fan, so I have to take a Bilal Powell here for sure. Also got another texter on the line. He said he needs help with his flex spots. Standard scoring, pick 2. McCoy, Yeldon, Cobb, or Funchess?
Ooh, Funchess the number one there. No Fournette today, so I think Yeldon's going to get most of the snaps. I think I'm going to go on a limb and take Yeldon here.
Over Shady?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Shady's playing the Chargers, so I'll give you that.
Shady's got the Chargers defense. I think Joey Bosa's back in the lineup there. It's a different – or he's inactive. Bosa's inactive for week 2. And – you got Ingram on one side, and it's just not the same without Bosa on the other side. So I don't know how good that defense can actually be. Again, it was the best defense in the NFL, if you ask me, in terms of last year's stats. But man, I got to go with I'm gonna have to take. Yeah, man, I'm taking Yeldon, dude. I'm taking Yeldon over Shady.
All right, so I'm gonna give you 3 more texts because they all just came in at the same time, real quick. We can hit real quick. Standard leagues: Jimmy G or Tom Brady. Next one doesn't say standard or PPR, but Deion Lewis or Dalvin Cook?
Jimmy G or Tom Brady.
That's a pretty easy decision for me.
Right,
but
even though they're going up against the Jags, man, I'm still taking the GOAT, dude. You can't. I mean,
do you want to be the guy who left Tom Brady on the bench?
Yeah. If the points get you, but it's just not fair enough for San Francisco right now. I think the matchup, regardless if it's Jalen Ramsey out there for that Jacksonville defense, I think the GOAT finds a way to shred it up.
We don't have a standard or PPR for this next question, but Deion Lewis or Dalvin Cook?
Deion Lewis or Dalvin Cook? Man, I'm going to have to take Dalvin Cook just because Deion Lewis splits the backfield, man, and Henry's a beast. I know Lewis did great last week, but he's coming off of a phenomenal week, but Dalvin Cook, he's the bell cow, man. You got to take that.
And like I said last week, Green Bay has some injury issues on that defense. Look what Jordan Howard did on the ground for him for a pretty bad Bears offense.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
And then the last question, I'm not really sure if this is a question or a statement. It just says Juju Smith ? So I guess he's asking if you want Juju in the lineup.
Yeah, you got to play Juju Smith. I think so, man. Take Smith Schuster there, JJSS, and then he's also got one Thomas or Sanders. Ooh, for that Denver lineup. Let's see here. I'm gonna have to go with Thomas. I think. Well, Sanders is the guy that gets you usually the big plays. He's the one that stretches the vertical, that stretches the defense against vertical. But to me, Thomas is your guy that is your possession receiver. Probably gonna get you maybe 6 receptions, 50 to 60 yards, maybe a touchdown. But Sanders is the guy with the higher ceiling here. Sanders can essentially get you two touchdowns a game if you want. It's kind of like the Will Fuller scenario, right? When Will Fuller's on the field, he's tremendously fast, and you see the same thing in Sanders. I'm gonna have to err on the side of risk and just go getting them right now and tell you to go get Sanders instead of Thomas here. I know Demaryius Thomas is the marquee guy. He's the elite wide receiver there. He's the number one, but to me, I think Case Keenum does a good job at finding his number twos, especially when the defense locks down to number one, and he exploits it well. So I'm going to tell you to take Sanders on this one. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to have Chris Sweet from thewagnerwire.com. He's going to come on, give us that bag of tricks for Sweet's Treats for NFL Week 2. Let's answer a little bit more. Yeah, Cook is it. That's right. Deion Lewis or Dalvin Cook, we already answered that. Okay, good morning. A non-PPR league, I need to play 2 out of 4. Who do I sit? Freeman from Denver, Nelson Aguilar from Philadelphia, Quincy Enunwa, can't pronounce it, dang it, sorry about that, or Brandon Cooks. I'm going to have to take Enunwa and Brandon Cooks. I think Brandon Cooks can stretch it vertically, and I think Quincy Enunwa is definitely going to be the target for Darnold. See, gangrene just scares me a little bit, man. Did we really see them actually come and play decent football on Monday night? Man, I don't know, bro. You never know what you're going to get with gangrene. Usually on Monday night, they're elevated to play a little bit better football. But me, it's a roller coaster right now. Not too much stock to take right now. Not too much of a range. I'm going to go. He's definitely the number one there, I would think. Robbie Anderson is usually the guy that people sit there and think of for the wideouts at the New York Jets. But I think gangrene, I think you found somebody with Quincy Enunwa. So, yeah, man. We got Chris Sweet on the line now to talk a little bit of Sweet's Treats for the Wagner Wire. Chris Sweet, what you got going on today, man? Do we have any chocolate chip cookies? Do we have any sprinkled with cinnamon there? What we got cooking on in that bag today?
Well, you know, we got burger cookies out here in the Baltimore area.
You got what?
The burger cookies.
All right.
The nice chocolate ganache on there, cake-like cookies, so that's what we're dealing with today here.
What you got going on, man? How's your week been, man? Good?
Pretty good. Week one went pretty good for me. I went 3-1 of my season longs, made a little bit of money on DFS. So
there you go. 382, thank you. I'll take that.
So what do you I'm assuming you guys talked to Josh Gordon at the top and everything.
Yeah,
so
we talked a little bit of Josh Gordon. Now, you know, ESPN's reporting that they could be landing Mr. Josh Gordon in Dallas or in San Francisco. Where do you think that he'll be?
I mean, Dallas makes the most sense because that offense needs something. Dak, I love Dak. I think Dak's a lot better than he's going to look in fantasy this year if he doesn't get somebody else, to stretch the field a little bit down there. So that makes the most sense for me. And then Dez, you know, could maybe sign with Cleveland if he realizes he's not worth what he thinks he is. But, you know, who knows? They got some decent receivers there. That leads me to my first Sweet Treats was that if you're playing DFS today, you got to have Jarvis Landry in your lineup. I think it'd be a big mistake not to.
A lot of people are a little reluctant with Jarvis Landry just because he doesn't score the touchdowns. And I've always said that, it doesn't really make that 6 points is great, but, I mean, when you're in a PPR league, you know Jarvis Landry is going to get you around 15 anyways. So I just think the ceiling's a little bit higher if he would get touchdowns, but it's still going to be a pretty decent pedestrian 15 points for Jarvis Landry at the minimum.
I think it's Yeah, for sure. And I think that week one showed that he's going to get the volume. And, his average per catch was a lot better than it was last year when he caught, like, the most catches in the league and didn't have 1,000 yards. So I think we're going to do a little better than that this year. Another guy I like in that game, if you want to save some money, is Rashard Higgins. He's now going to be getting a bigger share there. He was another I think it was a second-round draft pick last year, something like that. Out of for the Browns, he's only 3,000 on DK. I think in a game where I think they're going to need to catch up and throw the ball a lot, whereas Tyrod Taylor might not be the guy that you want to throw the ball a lot. I think that he should be able to find some points there that'll make it worth $3,000 in DraftKings.
Right.
Another budget wide receiver I like today, and you were just talking about this wide receiver situation in Denver, is between Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I actually like the wide receiver three there, the rookie Courtland Sutton.
Okay.
I like what I saw in week one. He had five targets. He caught two of them. Both were over 20-yard gains. So I think he might actually be the deep threat in that pass game this year. And I really like what I saw out of Case Keenum. I expected him to come back to reality, and he looks like he's going to be a pretty solid fantasy viable quarterback this year. So I think Courtland Sutton's only $3,500. I think that's another guy if you want to try to get some of the more high-priced guys in your lineup. I could see him beating this bad Raiders offense for a deep touchdown today.
Nice. I like Courtland Sutton, too. I mean, a lot of people were big on him. He's a decent rookie, very talented, and he's just masked there in that Denver receiving corps because of the big names there.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's a good place for him to learn. I think when all is said and done, he's going to be the best wide receiver out of this rookie class.
I'm pretty big on Kirk, but I just don't like his landing destination, man.
Christian Kirk?
Yeah, I like him over there at Arizona. Or I liked him at Arizona until I saw the debacle that they're rolling out with quarterbacks. So,
He's learning behind another good guy.
Exactly. If you can learn from Larry Fitzgerald.
Maybe not this year, but I think a few of these guys are going to end up being pretty good. Another guy I like today is I'll actually give some Charger love today. I like Melvin Gordon to possibly be the RB1 on the day today with a nice matchup, and I think it's a game that I know Bosa is out, and I just saw Schefter said he might be out until sometime in October, so that's not good for that defense. But I expect the Chargers to be able to handle this one easily today and have Melvin Gordon close the game out. And I know you're actually higher on him than I was to start the season.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of catches last week. So even with that,
you're too afraid of being called a homer.
I'm not afraid if it's warranted. You know, you weren't going to hear me talking bad about LaDainian Tomlinson back in the day. I was praising him every single day, but it's just not the same. It's not the same as it was back then. Gordon's not Tomlinson. He has his flaws, but I think he's going to have a big day today.
Nice. Or how about real quick? We just had this come in on the text line for you, actually, Chris. Emmanuel Sanders, because you were just talking about Emmanuel Sanders or Brandon Cooks PPR.
I think Sanders. I think Sanders is hard to not have him on your lineup in your lineups right now after week one, and it's the Raiders. So I do like Courtland Sutton as the value play, but if you're being safe, you got to have Sanders in your lineup. I like Cooks too, but they both have good matchups. That's a good problem to have.
I think I take Sanders here just because there's just so much more talent surrounding Brandon Cooks that other people are going to demand touches. Cup's going to demand touches. Wood's going to demand touches. And you know you at least got to give your bell cow, Todd Gurley, at least 20 touches, right? You have to. So, to me, I think more opportunity for Sanders.
Yeah, for sure. The running back situation alone is the reason you want Sanders because, you know, they're going to be throwing more there. They're not going to be given – I don't think they're going to be giving their running back a ton of touches today. Whoever their running back is. I liked Royce Freeman play last week, and now it looks like that's a strict committee there with him and Lindsey. So,
right. It will be running back by committee. And if we know one thing, if the Raiders defense is going to play any type of defense, it'll be run defense instead of pass defense.
For sure.
All right, what else is in that bag of tricks?
All right, so I'm gonna let you beat your waiver wire. I like to grab guys the week before they're hot on the waiver wire, and I think a guy to grab this week is Ito Smith, the running back from the Atlanta Falcons. With Devontae Freeman injury news coming out, he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously, Tevin Coleman's going to see he's going to be the main recipient of those carries, but you know they like to use two running backs there, and they like to have a pass-catching back. I think that Ito Smith, you're going to see him be definitely a guy that's going to get 10 points or 15 points in a PPR league. So he's a guy, if you can grab him today, you won't have to outbid your league mates on Tuesday.
All right, now obviously we've heard the news, no Devonta Freeman for the Atlanta Falcons. And in hot Atlanta, you got to think the key or the hot pickup here is obviously Tevin Coleman. Do you expect a big day out of Tevin Coleman today?
Oh yeah, for sure. He's gonna be Chalk City on DFS lineups. Anytime you can grab a guy with that much talent that's gonna all of a sudden be getting a lot of the touches, you gotta throw him in your lineup.
One more question, Chris. We also got the Buccaneers 1-0 at home hosting the Super Bowl defending champions, Philadelphia Eagles. Fitzmagic was phenomenal in week one. How does he repeat this 435-yard onslaught that he tossed up over the Saints, who I actually had making a deep run because of that defense and electric offense. But, you know, the defense, they do bring a I guess you could say upgraded defense because of the, you know, the advent of Michael Bennett on that defensive line. But can the Buccaneers get it done? Do you look to think that do you think that Fitzmagic can get it going and stir that pot of magic and get a brew in there against the Eagles?
I don't. I mean, I like Fitzmagic as much as the next guy. But that that Eagles defense is on paper and in real life, I think, just better than the Saints defense. And plus, whenever you have a division matchup, you can just have weird things happen. I'm not saying that.
For sure.
I'm not saying it was weird that Fitzmagic had a big game, because if you've played fantasy football in the last 10 years, you've probably picked that guy up off the wire four or five times, because he's had his runs. He has Bills run. I remember one game with the Texans. I believe he was the Texans quarterback. He threw six touchdowns. So people were saying that was his best game last week, and I actually remember that game. And, you know, six touchdowns, that's pretty good for a guy. And he had a really good Jets run, too, I think. Took the Jets to 10-6 a couple years ago. So Fitzpatrick's a guy. He's like the perfect backup quarterback if, you know, you have a situation where you need him to actually play for a few games. I think that's like the guy you definitely want in there, because he can throw in those 300, 400-yard games. But anytime he's been given, like, a starting job for the most part, it doesn't seem like it always turns out. I remember the great Bomani Jones once had a quote that, you always hear people talk about how he's from Harvard until he throws five interceptions in a game, and then he's not that Harvard quarterback anymore.
Exactly. All right, we got a few more coming in there. We got people that are just curious about their Texans today, because we are in that type of area.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That target demographic there. So we got some questions. How do you think Nuke's going to do today? Going up against what do you think about this Titans defense, too? I mean, Houston is obviously favored on four. No, I think the line's at 3.5 now. Houston's favored 3.5. The over-under's 41. You got to think that most of the points are coming from the Texans' offense here.
Yeah, I would think so. I think Nuke's a good play any week. I mean, if you have him, you're starting him. It'd be, you know, that's a no-brainer. I think he'll be good. I think he'll get a touchdown today. And the Titans' defense, and Titans in general, they're the team that, you know, all preseason they're so great, and then once the season starts, you're like, oh yeah.
And you really question the hire of Vrabel here too, right? I mean, it doesn't look like this guy should have his own head coaching job. So I mean, he struggled with the defense last year, or a couple years ago at Texas, or for Houston rather. So I mean, what, you know, let's see what he can put on the field there in Tennessee. I just don't think it gets going here. It will be a little bit of a reunion. We mentioned Vrabel with the Texans, and he'll be coming back with O'Brien now, so we'll see how this matches up. I think that it's going to be a pretty decent day for Nuke Hopkins, who's going to want to build off of that dismal Week 1 performance. So to me, I think it's a good start. We also got Denver D or Philly D. Ooh, I'm going to have to say Denver D all the way here.
I've got Denver D in a couple leagues that I'm starting this week, so I got to go Denver D as well.
Any defense that's going up against the Colts or Raiders right now, I'd say that's a pretty safe play, man. So we really appreciate all these questions. Hey, man, we appreciate the time coming on the Wagner Wire. We're a little bit against it, man. We got sold. We're very sold today. Lots of commercials, man. We got to get to the break here, man. Yeah, that's a good problem to have, right? That's a good problem to have.
Make that money, man.
Exactly. Hey, thanks for that bag of treats, Chris. We really appreciate it, man. It's Chris Sweet. You can find him on Twitter at the Chris Sweet, writer and journalist. He dabbles in a little bit of journalism there for thewagnerwire.com, and he joins us every Sunday, man, bringing us those sweet treats. It is definitely the sweet one there. It is Chris Sweet. So thank you very much, Chris. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
All right, brother. All right, when we come back from the break, rather, we will be talking a little bit of heroes and zeros and tie a ribbon on this bad boy. All that and more when we come back on the Wagon Wire. You're listening to us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream this sucker live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire here on 104.9 The Horn, AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com. Want to thank Chris Sweet for coming on last segment, bringing us that bag of sweet treats. Always a good thing to have every Sunday on a Sunday morning for fantasy football. Want to thank you. Got a lot of that Specs text line, man, is just blowing up, baby. We got so much going on here. All right, we got good morning, Wags. Do I start James White, Amari Cooper in a PPR? I think it's pretty pretty easy, man. I think you got to go with Amari Cooper here, man. I think you know, he's the number one. The clear number one there in Oaklandville.
Jordy's struggling right now.
Jordy is struggling. And you know what, man? I'm glad you brought that up because Jordy actually struggled last year on the Packers. And not too many people noticed it, but Aaron Rodgers was throwing Jordy Nelson open. It's the rapport that they had together that allowed Jordy Nelson to get that.
He doesn't look anything like his former self.
He can't work the zones. He's trying to find – what he used to do is just go and find a spot in that no zone, just sit there and wait for Aaron to find you. And if Aaron would stretch and go to the right, he'd kind of pan right and try and find a little bit of a pocket, right? And usually a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' caliber will find you and pick you out. Now, what Jordy does great – is yak yards after the catch, man. He's pretty badass when it comes to that. But he's just not getting it going there in Oakland, dude. It's just a different type of offensive scheme, and it's not doing anything. It's not doing Jordy Nelson any good. That's for sure. To me, dude. Yeah, I think it's Amari Cooper all day long here. You had a great comment here. He will redeem himself. To me, man, Tennessee with White and Henry, you want, if you're Vrabel in the Titans, you want to feed Henry and get him going and wear down the opposing defense, and then maybe have James White splash in and splash out every now and then. But that's just, I mean, you're splitting. James White might have 13 carries, 10 to 13 carries, and that's just minimal opportunity.
Or he might have three.
Exactly. Now, he could be, you know, pretty phenomenal out of the backfield, which is what he did for the New England Patriots last year as well. But I just don't think Mariota is going to find him like that. I think you got to go Amari Cooper here all day long. We got another guy coming in, 0.5 PPR pick three between Chris Goodwin. Oh my, just updated again. Chris, where'd that go? All right, pick three: Chris Goodwin, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, Jameson Crowder, or Kerryon Johnson. I'm going to have to say Kerryon Johnson, Devontae Adams, and Amari Cooper here. That's a tough one, man. Jameson Crowder, I think Jameson Crowder can have a decent day going up against the Arizona Cardinals. That just looks like it's in a debacle there. I'm envisioning Peterson on Dotson, and that should spell good things for Crowder. I think Crowder should be able to get open there. But to me, I think Alex Smith is going to utilize a lot of Chris Thompson today. I think you're going to see the Washington Redskins get a fast and early lead, and then I think that's going to lead to a lot of Adrian Peterson just running out the clock and chewing up yards, man.
Yeah, Alex Smith doesn't hit his downfield targets very often, other than his tight ends.
Never.
So, I mean, look what Mahomes just did with Hill in one game that Alex Smith couldn't do in 2 years there. So
exactly. And then we also got another one coming in. We got Kirk Cousins or Jimmy G. Jimmy GQ or Kirk Cousins? I'm going to have to go with Kirk Cousins, man. There's just so many weapons that the Vikings have, man. All right, you got Adam Thielen on one side that can run possession. And, oh, by the way, he's pretty damn phenomenal after he catches the ball with that yak as well. And then you have that speed demon on the other side with Stephon Diggs. And then you put him in the slot, you know, defensive backs can't even get a hold of it, or you can't bump him or lock him up at the line, so that allows him to just stretch the defense even more there. And then, oh, by the way, once that defense starts to get stretched out vertically, this guy named Kyle Rudolph comes in and rips it up in between the hash marks. So to me, I just think Kirk Cousins has the better value here. You got to go with that. Wags, help me out here in my PPR, Yeldon or Peterson?
AP!
Yeah. I want to say Yeldon here, but you know what? He's going to say AP. The dude's going with AP. I'm going to have to tell you to go with Yeldon. I'm going with Yeldon just because there's no split time there. I think more opportunities for Yeldon. Going up against that New England defense, though.
I don't know, man.
This is a tough one.
I'm going to go out on a limb here for you, Wags. I know you're not going to like this.
Oh.
I got AP for 1,000-plus this year with the Washington Redskins.
I mean, no doubt, especially if Alex Smith can work him into, you know, the passing attack as well. Because if Adrian Peterson can stay on the field for three downs, I know that's, you know, Chris Thompson value, that's going to drop a little bit. But, again, what are we talking about? Thompson's going to be your third down back. That's just happening.
It's weird we call him the old man now, but I love the old man running downhill, just hard nose in between the tackles.
Gotten a fountain of youth in those legs, though, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, let's keep in mind, 2,000-yard rusher.
Standard leagues, Breeze or Big Ben? Ooh, I do have Juju Smith-Schuster and Michael Thomas to go with the quarterbacks. All right, so you got to take Breeze. I mean, it's – That's come on, man. Especially with Ben, you know, dealing. There's been talks that he's kind of had a little bit of an elbow problem there. But yeah, man, I think it's a good problem to have. Breeze or Ben.
He's playing the Browns.
The Browns, yeah, man. And I don't know. People sleeping on the Browns. Miles Garrett can get people.
Oh, I'm not arguing. And they've got that Denzel Ward, their corner out of Ohio State, didn't play much last year, played extremely well versus Antonio last week. I'm not saying that, but there's just too many weapons for Breeze.
No doubt. Yeah, it's Breeze all day long here, twice on Sunday, obviously, and today is Sunday. Good morning, boys. Again, that same commenter, flex, in for his flex position, Tevin Coleman or Lamar Miller? Ooh, that's easy for me. Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman is getting the start there for Hotlanta. Again, the Falcons are without Devonta Freeman. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. So if Tevin Coleman's on your waiver wire by some grace of act of God, you need to pick him up and take him like as of yesterday. You should have done that yesterday. But go ahead and get him now if he's still there. I don't think he will be. Also, a wide receiver problem, T.Y. Hilton or Juju Smith-Schuster. Until Andrew Luck can prove to me that he is back, I'm not taking week one. It's just bad football. That's just what Andrew Luck is to me. I'm taking Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm sorry, man. T.Y., he's explosive. He's great. And, you know, I got my producer sitting here looking at me cross-eyed. But, again, until you win 300, you win.
I feel you. I feel you. My only concern there is a number one over. You're choosing a number two, yep, over a number one.
This is solely off the quarterback play here. We got flex play here with Holiday, Tevin, or Trevor Coleman, or it's Tevin Coleman. But you're taking Coleman here. Coleman over Holiday and Drake. Yeah, good questions, eh? Lots of listeners are loving that. All right, hey man, it's about that time, dude. We are sold and sold and sold, man. So want to appreciate. Chris Sweet coming on, man, and just give him a shout out again, man. This dude brings really good content. I don't know if you've been to the WagnerWire.com yet or not, but go on Twitter as well. Follow him on The Chris Sweet. It's at The Chris Sweet. He's a really good follow, man. That has a contrarian point of view that can help you go against the grain and swim upstream like a salmon and take home that millionaire cash, because that's what it's all about. That millionaire maker cash. Cash money, because that's where it's at on DraftKings. Play that. It's $20 to get in. That's your entry to get in there. But, you listen to the show, you get some good content and get some good gouge, and it'll help you out there. All right, man, that's it for us on this Sunday. We really appreciate all your patience. We were sold a lot today. We understand that, and we'll fire off these questions as much as possible. If we didn't get to your question, go ahead and tweet me at NotTheFakeWags or hit Devin up at DevinTheDude. That's two O's with a D, no E at the end of that D. But, yeah, we're happy to answer all your questions on Fantasy Football Sunday. You're listening to us here on 104.9. 101.9 AM 1260, and you stream this sucker live at hornfm.com. I'm Adam Wagner, your host of the Wagner Wire. Until next week, enjoy the ride.